Back in the 1980s, I found myself cruising in the West Indies for a whole winter on board my old pilot cutter, Herta. In a sense, those were the last days of our innocence, I think. My wife and I, Roz, we were on our second major ocean cruise, and this time we had our daughter with us, Hannah, who would be about 6 or 7 years old at the time. We also had a remarkably colourful cast of characters helping us to crew the boat, because she was 35 tons and had a gaff cutter rig. The boom was 30 feet long and weighed, I don't know, 600 pounds or something of pitch pine. She was a fair old handful, the boat, but she was a lovely boat to sail, very sweet and kind. And so away we went, and we went to all sorts of places, ended up in the lesser-known islands of the Caribbean. And I remember very well the way the boat completely defused any tension there might have been between us and the locals. We had an ancient boat that probably had a few rust stains on the side. She still had canvas sails, and I've got to say, we didn't look any great shakes either. In fact, we weren't. We didn't have two cents to rub together, but we managed. And the wonderful thing was the way we interacted with the locals. I can remember one day on the beach in Anguilla, up in the north, when we were getting ready to sail for home, and the wind had sat firmly in the northeast and would not move, and it was blowing like the clappers. And April was getting on, and we were anxious to get on our way before the seasons turned and sail round the big high-pressure system to the Azores, from where we would be able to strike out for home. And we sat there, and there was an old fella on the beach. I don't remember what his name was, but he was a great old guy. His face was all creased with age. It looked as though the world and his wife had walked all over him for decades. But he'd come up smiling. I often saw him in Jono's beach bar, and we'd share a rum together. And he asked me where we were headed, and I said, well, I was headed for England. And he said, man, that is long water, long water. And I liked the sound of that. And then I told him I was worried about the weather. And he sucked his teeth, and he looked at the sky, and the moon was waning. She was about two-thirds gone. And he said, man, he said, you wait till the moon changes. The moon will go out, and you'll have 2 or 3 days. And when the new moon comes, the weather will change. It'll change with the moon. Well, you try telling a meteorologist that. But, you know, he was right. It did. It went round to the east, which was the best we could hope for. And we set off close-hauled and hammered away until we finally burst out of the heavy trade winds. The wind eased and veered, and we sailed away to the Azores, and we made a famous passage, which was lucky, because we didn't have an engine at the time. It hadn't worked for weeks, and it didn't work then either. We fixed it in the end, but that's another story. Now then, while I was in the West Indies, I spent some time in Nevis, and the thing that really struck me about Nevis in those days, as apart from the fact that it was totally undeveloped and Pinney's Beach was probably the most beautiful beach in the world anywhere, there was a lighter, an old sailing lighter that used to ply her trade between Nevis and St. Kitts. Completely under sail, great heavy vessel with a socking great canvas mainsail, and all the old dear, she used to come in and somehow scramble herself alongside a little pier, and they'd load up all the empties as they were taking them back to Nevis, and they came back with crates and crates full of beer for the little hotels and the bars, and I suppose they brought other stuff as well, but the booze was of most interest to us. The booze and the old dears, who always crammed onto the boat going to St. Kitts to the class market on the bigger island. They had wonderful hats on and colourful dresses, and they used to shout at us as they went past, making sail and blasting away across the trade wind. What a scene! Well, sail almost seemed to be dying in the Caribbean, and I lamented its passing because of the sheer colour of it. But one day, I had a communication from a young chap called Alexis, and Alexis told me that he'd salvaged an old Carriacou sloop in the 1990s, and he'd sailed it to windward in Carriacou, and there he'd met the builder. He got so tied up with all this. The chap's a photographer, bit of a journalist really, like me, but I think he's a very talented man, you know. And a 10-year photo essay followed on the last of these boat builders. And in the end, the launch of a boat which he himself had commissioned along the old lines, a boat called Genesis, not compromised in any way, the real business. And he wrote a book about it, which I featured in my Yachting World column. I don't know if it's come out yet, actually, but if it hasn't, look out for it, because it's a great little feature. He's continuing this journey that he's made. The boat was launched, he sailed her, and she came alive. And now he's making a film about the boat and about the whole business, the whole of the Caribbean sailing. It would be a wonderful thing if he brings this to practice. Apparently it's 80% complete now, and he's looking for funding to go and finish the whole thing with a remarkable online platform called Kickstarter, who have an all-or-nothing approach to funding. A goal, a deadline, a risk, and pledges through Amazon. And anyone who backs it becomes part of a community to see the whole project through, so I really wish him luck with that. Genesis is the name of his boat. Vanishing Sail is his company, and his name is Alexis. So you look out for him, you'll find him on the internet if you search diligently, and you won't be disappointed. I think so often of those days with great nostalgia. And I go back occasionally to the West Indies now working, and it's filling up and doesn't seem to be quite what it was, but then nothing is it? I had a lecturer at university the day that the Times newspaper stopped filling its front pages with small ads like it had since the time of good King George. And he said to us, he said, "Well, gentlemen," he said, "the Times is not what it was. I don't know what'll become of you." And there it was. Nothing ever stands still. And we must be grateful for that, because neither do we. So I'm off now for a nice cup of tea. It's mid-afternoon. So fair winds to Alexis with his project. Fair winds to you all. And God rest the spirit of the great old Nevis Lighter.